Jamie. Hey, Renew Church, how you guys doing this morning? Good. It's really good to be here. As Jamie said, my name is Sten. I'm the pastor at Midcurrent in Hudson, and I think this is about my fourth visit or so here to Renew Church, so it's good to be back. I got my son, Oli, hanging with me here today, so we are thrilled to be here. If you are here today or if you are tuning in online, we are really glad to share in this time with you. Jamie said it, you've been in it. A number of churches, we are in a series called One. In the very first week of the series, you heard Jamie talk about the one prayer that Jesus prayed for you and for me, a prayer that our unity in the church would help people outside of the church to know of God's love for them. Last week, Jamie talked about all the one another's in our lives. Today, I want to talk about the one purpose of God's in the world today. I think the one purpose that God has had yesterday, today, and for tomorrow. If you are brand new to Renew today, this is the third week in this series called One. It's a series in which Renew Church, Cedarbrook Church, and Midcurrent Church are collaborating together over the course of 5 weeks to introduce to you, to introduce to all of our churches, five topics that we believe will help us to develop a single focus in a divided world. Because Renew Church, I don't think I need to tell you this, I don't think I need to describe this much today, but divided, we very much are today. I know the election is just a few weeks away now, but the reality is, as much as we all wish it doesn't seem like it's quite over yet. And if you're anything, you're like me with all the elections up and down the ballot. If you're anything like me, you're exhausted. This political season, honestly, has been like no other. And what took place on November 3rd and in the months leading up to it, and now what's taking place in the days and the weeks after, I think it has demonstrated very clearly for us, something that we probably didn't need to be told, but I think it has demonstrated for us that not only are we divided, it seems, today, which has inspired a series like this, not only are we divided, but I think it's highlighted for us the reality that oftentimes we are just different, right? Not only are we divided, but we are just different, right? The election season, maybe more than anything else, has highlighted for us the reality that we think and we act and we behave and we believe sometimes very differently than other people around us every day, okay? And it doesn't get much more different and more divided than what we're experiencing right now. Like I said, up and down the ballot, we're seeing recounts and runoffs and razor-thin margins, and I'm not sure if there's ever been a season in recent history that has shown that we are so distinctly divided as a nation. Well, oftentimes with differences that have split us right down the middle and scattered us into separate corners, scattered us into distinct different camps all across the nation. Now, the reality is diversity is a really great thing, but what we're experiencing right now is straight up division, and it can be ugly. And so I can't help but wonder, honestly, as I sit and process everything that we're all processing these days, I can't help but wonder, what is next for us? I mean, honestly, what is next for us? Where do we go from here as a nation? I mean, the presidential race, it's not certified yet, and the Senate races aren't even over yet. But here's the deal. Here's what's troubling. Even if all the winners were declared today, right? Even if we went home and we discovered that this thing, this thing is finally a thing of the past, the reality is I don't see our differences, and I don't see our division as a nation going away anytime soon. Okay, so here's that question again. What do we do? I mean, honestly, where do we go from here? How do we move forward as a nation? How do we move forward in our communities? How do we move forward in our churches? How do we move forward in some of our own families when it seems like our differences are so staggering? How do we move forward? Okay, well, interestingly enough, this is not the first time in human history when our differences have scattered us into seemingly opposite directions. In fact, there was a moment when it was actually God who did the scattering because of some differences that he actually created among his people. that they had never experienced before. And so that's the story, and that's the moment in history that I want to explore today. To do that, we're going to turn all the way back to the beginning, to the book of Genesis, to the moment when God established one of the most obvious and one of the most distinct differences among his people, okay, that sent them scattering into all different corners of the world. And we're going to look today at why he did that. And then secondly, we're going to look at what exactly that means for us today. What exactly does that have to say to us today? So if you have a Bible with you today, or if you have a Bible app, turn to Genesis chapter 11. I believe it'll be up on the screens as well. And so as you turn your attention there to Genesis 11, let me very quickly here fill in some blanks first. This moment that we're going to explore today, it is post-flood. Okay, it is post-Noah and the ark. God finally turned off the water, and he hit the reset button. Okay, and he hit the reset button with Noah and his family. And so the ark finally came to rest on dry ground somewhere at the intersection of what is now modern day Turkey and Russia and Iran. Okay, and so now the question is, now that God has hit the reset button, did God's people always get it right? And the answer is, unfortunately, no, they did not. Human sin didn't stop just because the rain did, okay? And so that setup then brings us to chapter 11, which we're going to look at today, brings us to chapter 11, a whole 300 years later than this moment when God hit the reset button with Noah and his family, okay? 300 years later, to be exact, and now it brings us to Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Here's what it says. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. And as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. And they began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. And then the Bible adds this interesting note here. It says, in this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Now, let me stop here very quickly. This might seem like some insignificant details at the end here. Bricks and stone, tar and mortar, blah, blah, blah. You know, who really cares about this stuff anyway? But the truth is, these are not insignificant details. These are not insignificant notes to this story, okay? These little notes here are really providing for us a testament to the ingenuity of these people, ingenuity that actually would soon get God's attention. Mesopotamian archaeology would show that for the first time, these people then, they had developed a skill to make kiln-baked bricks with a material known as bitumen, which then became waterproof, which was a good thing, and yet they were still as strong as stone. And so what this demonstrated is that this was a smart, this was a capable, this was an innovative and an impressive group of people, making some really remarkable advancements, okay? And they're really onto something, and they know it. Okay, here's verse 4. Then they said to each other, listen to this. This is too good. Then they said, come, let's build back Babylon better. Anyone? No? Okay, they actually didn't say that. Let me try again. Here's verse 4. Then they said, come, let's make Babylon great again. No? Okay. They didn't say that either, okay? Neither of those are true, but it's actually not that far off. Here's the actual verse 4. The first two were fake, just in case anybody's concerned, okay? Here's actually verse 4. Then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous, they said. Some translations say, we'll make a great name for ourselves. So we'll be famous and will keep us from being scattered all over the world. Let's build a tall tower, reaches into the sky. It'll make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. Friends, the truth is human nature has not changed a lot. People still love to be famous. People love to make a name for themselves. People still love to build big, tall towers and careers and reputations and slap their name on it so that their name lives on long after they die. People are still thrilled today and captivated by ingenuity and by innovation that allows us to build and to create and advance and provide for ourselves as a society today. This is the scenario where God's people were. And as I mentioned before, it got God's attention. This ingenuity, this creativity, these advancements got God's attention. But God was not impressed. In fact, God was not pleased. Look at verse 5. It says this. But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down. If you're curious, who's he talking to? And he's saying, let's go down. This is actually a kind of an early nod to the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you're a real Bible scholar, you might be interested to know that, right? Come, let's go down, he says, and confuse the people with, get this, different languages. Let's go down, confuse the people with different languages. Let's make them different from one another. Then they won't be able to understand each other, okay? So they're making great progress, okay? Such great progress that God makes sure he goes down into the job site and he makes sure that the next time one of them turns and asks for a brick, right? His buddy looks on in confusion going, no habla inglés, right? Je ne parle pas français. I don't know what you're saying, right? There's confusion and there's chaos, right? So God brings the whole project to a halt, but that's not all. Here's verse 8. It says, in that way the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. And that is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with what? Different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. Okay, Babel literally means to confuse or to scatter. And so that's what the story about the Tower of Babel reminds us, the moment when God scattered his people all across the earth, okay? Stop their progress, stop them dead in their tracks, confuse them, made them different, sent them in so many different directions, okay? Now, I'm assuming at this point that there is one question that you may be asking yourself right now, maybe wishing you could ask me. I mean, if I was hearing this story for the first time, or if this was a story that I had not really dug around in very much, I think I'd be asking the same question. And the question is this: why? I mean, why would God do that? Why would he stop the progress? Why would he confuse them? Why would he scatter them? I mean, it said they were united. Isn't that a good thing? I mean, isn't that what Jesus prayed for? All our churches, we talked about this in week one of the series, right? Isn't unity what we wanted? We just talked about this, right? Why would God have a problem with all that? That's a very legit question because, yes, generations later, as we discovered in week one of the series, that is exactly what Jesus prayed for, okay? But in this scenario, God seems to be concerned. So why? Why? Here's a couple possibilities. Maybe, I don't know, maybe God's jealous. Is it possible that God's jealous, right? Is them making a great name for themselves, is it threatening to God? Maybe God is afraid of a little bit of a healthy competition, right? Maybe God doesn't want people to be successful and innovative in what it is that they have chosen to do. Maybe, I don't know, is that possible that God's jealous? Maybe it's just that God is just that old-fashioned, right? He doesn't like innovation. He doesn't like ingenuity. Maybe he's looking on going, nope, sorry, you guys. You're doing it all wrong. You're supposed to use stone, not these new bricks. That's the way we've always done it, and it's always worked out just fine for us, so we're not changing now. Maybe God's old-fashioned. Maybe he's resistant to change. The answer to both of those is no. It's not true. God is not jealous of people's, you know, ingenuity or concerned with people's, you know, creativity. And God is not old-fashioned, right? There's actually two reasons, if we kind of pull this apart, there's actually two reasons why God was most displeased. And I want to just share those two with you. Here's the first, okay? They were directly disobeying God's command to disperse and to replenish the earth. This decision to say, hey, let's stay here. Let's just build a big place for ourselves. They were directly disobeying God's command to disperse and to replenish the earth. This was God's command, actually, to his people in the very beginning, to Adam and Eve in the garden. And it's the very same command that God gave to Noah and to his sons right after the flood when he hit the reset button. In fact, here's Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. This is what God said to Noah and to his family. He said what? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Okay, he said it way in the beginning, and he says it again to Noah at this moment. He's going, hey, that's your job, right? Those are your marching orders. I'm starting all over with you, my friend, and through you and through your family and through all of your descendants, I'm going to bless this whole world. So spread out. So spread out and spread the good news. Be a blessing to this world, okay? That was the one purpose that God really cared most about. And so those were the kind of marching orders that he gave. But how did the people respond? Nah, no thanks. Right? Let's just take matters into our own hands. Let's just build a big old place of our own right here so that we don't have to scatter out all over the world, right? We'll be way more powerful. We'll be way more influential. We'll be way safer. We'll be way more comfortable if we just stay here with just us right here, right now, and we just build a place that's just for us and everyone like us, right? God had a purpose that included them, a purpose that actually, it teed them up. It set them up to be best supporting actor in this whole deal. And yet they disobeyed, and God was disappointed. Okay, that's the first thing. Here's the second thing that God is displeased with. They became totally self-reliant. I mean, God said it himself, man, if they accomplish this, there is nothing that they will not be able to do all on their own, right? They became totally self-reliant. They start to bank on themselves and what they can do for themselves. They start thinking to themselves, man, we don't need to listen to God's commandments. We don't need to listen to the things that he asked us to do. We don't need to scatter all over the world. We can just come up with our own way to do what God wanted us to do. And we could probably do it better anyway. We'll just do it all right here. Okay? It's the same lie that Satan whispered to Eve in the garden. He said, you don't have to listen to God's commandments. Right? Why would he be holding out on you? Right? Think of all that you could do if you just had the knowledge that God didn't want you to have. Think of everything that you could do if you could just do the opposite of everything that God asked you. Right? It was all about them. It was all about making a name for themselves. It was all about them doing things their own way. And this is what got God's attention. This is what got God's attention there in that moment. So the question is, what did God do? We've already read about it. He confused the people with what? With different languages. He made them different from one another. And in this way, it said, he scattered them all over the world. Progress stopped dead in its tracks, confusion everywhere, people scattering in all different directions, okay? And there's something important I want us to understand here about this, right? Because if we're not careful, we could start interpreting this in so many different ways. There's something important I want us to understand here about God confusing them, about God making them different from one another, and about God dispersing them and scattering them apart from one another. There's something we have to understand here. This wasn't punishment, okay? This wasn't anger. This wasn't jealousy or anything else, okay? In fact, it was never about punishment, but it was always about his purpose, okay? What God did there in the story of the Tower of Babel, it was not about punishment. It was always about his purpose. Maybe more importantly for us to understand is this, that it wasn't a curse on God's people, okay? But it was a recalibration for the sake of eternity. We have to understand that. What happened then and there in that moment, it was not a curse on God's people. It was recalibration for the sake of eternity. Revelation 7:9 paints a picture for us of what God wanted eternity to look like. Here's what it says. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, from every tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. That's God's intended picture of eternity. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue worshiping before the throne. Okay? And all of a sudden, God saw this picture was in jeopardy. And so he intervened. He's saying, man, if I don't do something dramatic, that this isn't going to end well. This picture is not going to come true. You see, when we become too full of ourselves, or when we become too obsessed, or too important, or too obsessed with our own importance, and too obsessed with our own success, too fixated on ourselves, you know, elevating ourselves to the top of whatever tower it is that we're building. And we all know that our towers come in all different shapes and sizes. When we get too fixated on elevating ourselves to the top of those towers, God has endless and clever and unexpected ways of scrambling our efforts, thwarting our plans, and sometimes even confusing us so much so that we don't get too far out ahead of him. Okay? And that's what was at stake here with this tower that God's people were building. And so God stepped in, he made them different, and he scattered them all over the world. So what does that have to do with all of us? Right? What does that have to do with us today? There's a lot in this story that I think has direct application to you and to me today. But when it comes to our differences today, differences that I think are on display for us maybe now more than ever. What does all of this have to do with us? When it comes to our differences, here's what this story says to me. That our differences aren't meant to drive us apart as much as they are meant to drive us toward God and God's purposes. Right? The differences that exist between you and me today, and they are maybe many, okay? Those differences aren't meant to just drive us further and further apart as much as they are meant to drive us toward God and towards God and his purposes. Are you catching this? Right? At this time, it was all the people in one place building one tower, speaking one language with one purpose in mind that was not God's purpose. And so God says, no, you guys aren't getting it. I cannot let you ruin what I intended for now and what I intended for all of eternity. And so God confuses them and scatters them all over the world. God was and still is willing to do anything, I believe. God is willing to do anything to preserve his purpose in the world, to preserve his picture of eternity, of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, truly worshiping at the throne of God. He's willing to do anything to preserve that for you and for me today and for all people for all time. And I think God is very much willing to let us experience the same setback, the same chaos, the same confusion, if it meant us turning to him. If it meant preserving his intended picture of eternity with us. And maybe, I don't know, maybe, just maybe, that's what we're experiencing in a world right now that is so confused and so divided and oftentimes set so far back by what it is that makes us different. And so in light of this story, here's what I want to ask you today. In light of this story, what if we started thinking a little bit differently about people who are different from us? What if we started thinking a little bit differently about people who are different from us? What if we thought a little bit differently about the person who votes differently than us? What if we thought a little bit differently about our neighbor who was passionate about something that maybe we just weren't as passionate about? What if we thought a little bit differently about our friends or our siblings who raised their kids just a little bit differently than we did? What if we thought a little bit differently about the person a few seats over in church? Don't look at them right now. What if we thought a little bit differently about the person who sits a few seats over, who focused their efforts in a different part of society or in a different part of the community or a different part of the kingdom of God than we did? What if we moved beyond, just tolerating them and started to at least attempt to look at the world through their eyes? Giving thanks for how they see it. Giving thanks for how their heart beats and for how they might move the needle for God in this world because of it. I know this is a lot of big what ifs. What if we did this? What if we did this? I get it. Those are big. Some of these aren't easy for me. I'm going, whew, okay. I'm going to try that, right? But here's the deal. I just do not want to see our differences as reasons for us to be driven even further apart. But I want us to start to see them as an opportunity to be driven toward God more and to be driven towards God's purposes, right? What if what made us different was simply an opportunity for more of us to be more a part of God's mission, to see more Jesus followers in more places in a more caring and just world? See, when this is the case, when that's what we're about, then our concern, this is a good thing, right? Our concern is far less about what's happening right here or right here, but our concern is so much more about what's happening right here, right? So what if we stopped fighting about what makes us different and instead started to champion, to celebrate the impact that someone could make in a different part of the world than we could because of the way their heart beats? What if we stopped insisting that everyone be building the same tower that we're building and instead celebrated the fact that someone else was going to do something great for God somewhere that we wouldn't have been able to do or maybe even thought of on our own? What if we started to celebrate that stuff rather than to just tolerate it? Okay, now I'm not exactly sure, but I'm wondering at this point if I've got anyone on edge a little bit about maybe what this means. So I want to be very clear here about the things that we celebrate when it comes to what makes us different. I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that we need to look at every difference and every disagreement this way, right? Because I believe that not every issue at stake is equal. As followers of Jesus, sometimes there are differences that exist between us and the rest of the world that we can't overlook. That just happens sometimes, right? But here's the deal. As followers of Jesus, we need to be really, really, really wise, really thoughtful, really careful when we're making decisions about which differences those are. Let me see if I can help demonstrate this for you. I recently saw this idea that I'm talking about demonstrated well with the use of a simple bullseye. I believe you should be able to see it right here, okay? I love this, okay? I would suggest that the outer ring of that bullseye should be comprised of the things that we will discuss. The middle ring, I believe, should be comprised of things that, you know, we'll take it a step further and are comprised of things that we will defend. And I believe the center of that target should be comprised of the things that we will die for. You're going like, I'm not going to discuss it. I'm not even going to defend it. I will die for this. I will fight for this until the very end. Okay? As a church, or maybe I'll just speak personally for me, as a follower of Jesus, as a pastor, there are some things that the world thinks differently about that I would be willing to die for in my role as a pastor of a local church, okay? That there are some things I'll be willing to die for. That there's plenty that you might be thinking of, but I'll just give you a few examples of some things that I'm going, you know what? I'm willing to die for that. Here's a few, right? That the Bible is the inspired word of God. I'm going to die for that, right? I'm going to die for the idea, for the truth that there is only one God, that we are made in the image of God. I'm going to die for the truth that I believe that there is salvation that is found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Okay, these are a few statements. There's others I know that he didn't mention this one. There's others I know that you might be thinking of, but these are just a few statements and truths that I am willing to die for. Okay, I just think that the problem that so many of us are experiencing today, I think the problem for too many people today is that we put too many things into the will die for category that really should be in the will defend category, maybe even the I'll discuss category, or maybe a none at all. I think we put too many things into the very center of the target. And it's some of those things. It's some of those things that I think we let divide us way too much and so unnecessarily. It's some of those differences that I want us to start thinking a little bit differently about today. It's those differences that I want us to see as differences that aren't meant to drive us apart as much as they are meant to drive us all together, collectively, drive us toward God and toward God's purposes, both for now and for eternity. Renew differences that exist between us. Okay, they are not always problems to solve as much as they are opportunities to leverage for the sake of the kingdom. What makes each of us different is really a unique gift, I believe. It's a unique gift that God has given us to be used for God's purposes in the world. And so my question for you today as I finish is this: how will you leverage? How will you leverage who God created you to be for God's sake in the world? And maybe more importantly, how can you champion? How can you celebrate who God created your neighbor to be for God's sake and for God's purposes as well? In today's world, I believe that really is a different kind of person. And I think that our world needs churches that are full of people who are that kind of different. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks, so much thanks for who you are, for the way that you're working in the world. God, I know it's so easy in light of so many things that we might be experiencing on a global level, on a national level, on a community level, maybe in a family level. God, I know there is so much that can be going on that can make us feel like, man, where are you, God? So I pray that you would find ways to remind us, to speak to us, to give us hope and to give us faith and encouragement that you are still on the move, that you are still a good God, who loves us so much and who loves this world. God, as followers of Jesus, as local churches all across the country, all across the world, we want to do everything that we can to be about you, to be about your kingdom, to be about your purposes, both for now and for all of eternity, God. So if there are places in our lives, God, and this is going to be different for every one of us, and I'm hoping in the moments that each of us spend with you in the days to come, God, would you help us to identify some differences that we have made too big a deal? God, would you help us if there are certain people in our life, certain groups of people in our family, certain people even here in the church, God, if there are people that are different from us for one reason or another that we have just kind of separated from, I'm praying that you might help us to learn more about who they are, how their heart beats, how they might be impacting the kingdom in a corner of the kingdom that we might not have ever even imagined. God, would you help us to celebrate the fact that our differences are really a great opportunity to leverage for the sake of your kingdom? Would you help us to be people in everything that we do? Help us to be people who are about your kingdom. Your kingdom on earth, your kingdom for eternity, God. We give you thanks for who you are. We give you thanks for your son, Jesus, who is the ultimate gift for us that we didn't deserve. And yet you gave it to us anyway, God. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.